Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion to episode 190. This is part two to Now I See. Today is Palm Sunday, April 17, 2011. Wave those palms in the air. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. Hey, time flies by, especially when your computer crashes and you have old software and you try to build a new computer and the old software. Anyways, it's a long and very sad, sad story, but I am happy to be back. And just a little bit about that music intro. It was just a neighborhood group trying to, you know, copy somebody's music and all that. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed that. So here we are back. This is the month of April. Wow. Where did March go? I think we were in the computer world abyss, just kind of spinning around trying to figure things out. Yeah. Okay, I fired myself as hostess with the mostest, let the domain name expire, and we went through a little bit of a drama, I might say, with that. Got over that. The search engines helped me out, evidently, because I couldn't even deal with it. And but we are learning Windows 7. We are going to be searching for some editing software. Now, I want you to know that Pastor Paul's messages are not edited at all, obviously, if you've listened to his messages. But one thing, you know, back in the recording of the cassette days, way back, there was, when the tape turned, you had that little bit of a break. And so your hostess with the mostest and all of her diligence has to go in and cut that. And that's about what I do. And then sometimes we have some long, you know, where the recorder recording audio guys were asleep and they were maybe talking about the sports game. And then when Pastor Paul, he started, you know, they didn't turn on the tape, or maybe they turned on the tape and then started talking and he was still putting his mic on, you know. So I have to clean up the beginning and the end. So I'm kind of like cleanup crew on the tape deal. Anyways, so just some little, but I'm looking for some editing software because, you know, we want these podcasts to be kind of cleaned up and fun, and you don't want to have to sit there. It's like, well, when is this thing going to start? You know, we got a 2-minute delay in the beginning. So a little bit of housekeeping news for you. Let's see. Oh, the website, believe me, I'm not even going to give you the links. I don't even want you to go. Okay, now that I'm saying that, you probably all rush to the website, which is www.pastorpaul.org, and go there. But, you know, it's a wreck. I have to clean it up. Actually, I want to let you know, I fired myself as web madam, okay? So, but then I had to hire myself back again because nobody wanted the job, you know. So if anybody out there is looking for a job, and by the way, your the payment that you get for the job, you'll receive from the Lord because we don't have any money down here. Okay, enough with all the sad stories. Okay, so don't go to www.pastorball.org because I'm going to redo it the best that I can using old software. Front Pages 2003, which Microsoft doesn't even want to admit to. So there we go. But enough with all of that and my sad, sad story. Let me turn down this. Getting a little feedback. Yeah, Pastor Paul, he's gotten a lot of feedback in the days too. All right, so what do we want to talk about real quickly? The message is for the month of April. Okay, let me give you the rundown here. The month of April, I'll probably redo this. Maybe I will, maybe I won't, the intro here. But anyways, I'm going to be redoing everything. I'm just a totally dissatisfied hostess with the mostest, web madam, and I'm just firing all of those. And you know, I'm going to hire myself as the chief marketing technologist and just get rid of all these things, you know. It's like you get multiple personalities. Okay, so here are the messages for the month of April. The first one, which is where I was in the belly of the computer abyss, the big fish, the big computer fish. How's your memory? It's a good one. Second, now I see. Third, I would be persuaded if, ooh, we know some people that's going to really minister to. I would be persuaded if, my God, there we have it. Four messages. So we've got the 8th, the 15th, 22nd, 29th. There you go. I am glad to be back. Listen, you have to hear this. The car alarm. Can you believe it? Yeah, it goes off all the time. Have a great month. I really did miss you.
Now try to have some kind of peace. See, that's the whole thing, isn't it? No, I want the peace that passes all understanding. That comes from obeying the Lord. Say amen, somebody. But I want to get into though that thou slay me, and yet that thou slay me, yet will I trust you. Because sorrow after sorrow will wake up our spirits. How many have had sorrow after sorrow in their life and it has woken them up and has brought them to Christ, in fact? But it has awakened their spirit. Now, I know when I came to the Lord, I was ready. Can you say that? No, that's too negative for me. I would never raise my hand on that one. Sorrow, that's just claiming sorrow. I'm not. You don't have to claim it. It'll come your way. There's no claiming in it. It will come your way. So many times I see these, I'll say spiritually painted faces. They're not painted up, but they're spiritually painted. You know what I mean? A mask. How are you? I'm great. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's the end of the conversation. They've already given you their credentials, and they don't want to hear no more of it. They don't want any further questioning. Because you might hit a nerve. Oh, that's great. I'm real happy for you. Would you like a cup of coffee? No, I don't drink coffee. You still drinking coffee? You're real legal. Yeah, I drink it. I drink it black and hot and just like they threw a rubber boot in the thing. You know what I mean? Well, it's just the truth, isn't it? You just barely can stand to even be around that kind of spirit. This is so unreal. And you know, a lot of times folks like that, when we get like that, we're meaner than hell itself. Aren't we? Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost! But anyway, because of the very popular prosperity teachings, looking through a painted glass hides the true light of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And also, I got a word for the hyper-faith teachings, which allow no negative thing to the flesh. None. Oh, I get so many letters. Why are you so negative? Well, I said, I was born that way. I don't get into vain discussions over the Word of God, because you could argue forever with people. I mean, they see these things are negative to the flesh. Shouldn't they be that way? Shouldn't we deny the flesh continually? And yet, we're claiming things for our flesh. Now, a guy told me, he says, now you need a new this or that. Be specific in your prayer. Do you want a Ford or a Chevy? What are the options you want on it? And I said, am I talking to a car salesman, or I just want to pray, all right? I mean, you know, do we have to pray for each option? No, just name the options off and then claim the whole vehicle all at once. Well, maybe I should claim I said a garage to go around that vehicle and a house so it wouldn't look too conspicuous sitting on an empty lot. See, it never ends. Then I got to have furniture to put in there, and I got to have a good job so I can keep up with the whole thing. And so that appearances are made, I don't want people to think that God failed in any way. Right? Now, I know I'm going to get a letter on that. Huh? Probably a telegram, registered letter. I don't care. I got natural boundaries down here. Nobody comes to bother me. They think we're down here with blow darts and everything like that. That's how much they know about us down here. Now, sorrow after sorrow will lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will lead us to see Jesus. The Bible says, see Jesus only. Remember at the Mount of Transfiguration? Oh, let's build tabernacles here and there and one for there and so on like that. And And it all went, and what was left, they saw Jesus only. That's all you're supposed to see. When you're seeing Jesus, you're going to see suffering people and suffering saints. You're going to be seeing Jesus is another thing. Because when you look at, out there at people that are suffering, you're really seeing Jesus. Jesus says, when I return, will I find any faith? Now all we do is talk about faith. Well, there's a lot of talk, a whole lot of talking going on, not a whole lot of doing. Will I find, and he's coming, it's really close, isn't it? Don't you feel it in your spirit? Coming for to carry me home. Yeah, sorrow after sorrow will bring you to know and to see Jesus. Well, I think there are some people that are just destined to make it in smoother ways. Some people just make it smoother than others. Do you ever look at some people and say, why are they making it in such a smooth way? Well, that's the way it is. I've never had it smooth. I have it smooth for two blocks, and then I go, 1 million miles or rough roads. Whew, boy, I'm glad that's over. The meter's still running on this spiritual taxi cab, you know, and then sit back and looks like smooth sailing from now on, right, cabbie? And boy, then we hit the Burma Pass. How many know about the Burma Road? Maybe I'm speaking way, I'm talking about when they built that road and during the Second World War. Before that. Sometimes you have to explain yourself. See, you get older, and pretty soon everybody's younger than you are. But I believe that most of us, for the most part, are very coarse material. I do. And we need melting and molding and shaping to a sort of a sacred softness so Jesus can use it. And that if we are able to suffer as much as Job, it brings us to see Jesus. And be spiritually enlightened. Oh, glory. And if it does that, it's worth it. You won't be singing that song, I had it my way. But I did it his way. I thought, who wouldn't go to the Isle of Patmos? Just be over there to have that revelation. And who wouldn't sit on a dunghill with Job to cry out with him, now mine eyes seeth thee. But also helpful to this was when Job's friends deserted him. Now, you listening on the radio, maybe you'll have to tell some of your friends, do me a favor, desert me. Job's three friends, and these were knowledgeable, wealthy, lifetime friends. Oh, how well I know the kind. They were so devoutly attached to him, weren't they? Didn't they prove it? Oh, how sweet they were to him. Didn't they prove it? See, in the good old days when he was riding high and he moved about the throngs like a prince amongst the people, every eye that said saw him blessed him. But when they saw him sitting in the down among the ashes, their thoughts were quickly clouded and they changed their thinking rather swiftly with little thought. They suspected him. You know, there always was something about that man. Could never quite put my finger on it. They had nothing against him. Yet they perceived they shouldn't give him the same honor as before. Well, it's just a quickening in my spirit that I should spit on you. What kind of spirit is that? Now, let me tell you, in the end, you're going to see a lot of this. Are you hearing this? I mean, between a prince in furs and the same man in sackcloth, wow. To some minds, that makes a difference. I remember, I remember, leaving the field, the outward field out there of evangelism in my church in the suburbs and my church in Wisconsin and these nice things that were coming my way and the money that was coming in and going out and becoming popular out there in the suburbs and out in the farm. I'd go out to farming places and fill up farmhouses and, oh man, it was so much fun out there. Drop my bombs and go. Deliverance ministry. When I came to the north side, man, there was a mass exodus of people. When I left the fur for the sackcloth, and I left the suit for the overhauls, I became less. How many hearing this? Does that make me want to cry? No. I could no way go back out to the suburbs. I could no way go out now and minister out. There's so many people out that have been let down out there on the hyper faith message and the prosperity, and they're all that. It's a job out there now. I know just from the radio audience what a job it's going to be after this whole thing goes down. Hey, come on, it's going, hey, no, send your cards and letters, I don't care. It's got to go down, it's not a God. It's got to go down because it's just the arm of the flesh pleasing the arm of the flesh. And besides that, in Job's case here, and in a lot of people's cases, the instinct of self-preservation leads men to hold off from one who is sinking, lest they sink with them. Now, you go through a traumatic time in your life. Let's say you had some friends that you had in school when you were in the eighth grade or high school or whatever, and you feel like, I could always share everything with my locker buddy from high school. And I'll just call her and I'll share with her. And she'll talk to you three or four times, but then one of the kids will answer the telephone and, "My mom told me to tell you that she wasn't here." You haven't got them friends anymore. They see trouble coming down the road, they aren't there. And it's a good thing they aren't, because then you start to depend on them. And you start to depend on them, and then they let you down. Right? See, we can only stand each other just so much. Right? Well, I see your arm go like that. Yes and no. No, yes. And rightfully so. See, we cannot be God to people. We just get tired of them. And in your mind you say, "My God, I am so sick of that whining and complaining and that person. I am sick. Shut up." Okay? Well, not yet. Well, it's coming. You're listening on the radio, it's coming. There's a time when every father and mother said, "Hey, you're of age, sonny boy, out!" Or they move out of town. That's the new thing that parents do now. They move. God, take the house, the car, and everything. They elope. They go down the ladder, and they elope, and they fly off someplace. You don't think that's happening? It's happening all over, because parents are guilty for the way they raise them kids. And so they say, now we got another, well, I'll give them a place to stay and some eats and the bank account. Let's just get out here, start life over again. Woo! How many hearing this? But anyway, after sitting in silence, dead silence. You ever had to sit in dead silence when all your friends had left? For a week, these excellent men of God, these excellent men found it in their hearts to attack him with legal observations. They probably went down to Perkins or Panikukin and sat around talking about, well, what do you suppose happened? Huh? Don't we get into that? We go out and we fellowship. And we get into talking about, well, I wonder just what actually did happen. And then we try to explain it in our own mind and we darken the counsel of God. But anyway, here and there they threw in little darts of cruelty, all meant, of course, for his own good. Yes. This is constructive criticism. The guy's sitting here with his head screwed around, facing the other way. Constructive criticism, that's all we gave him. He's got one foot going one way and one the other way. He doesn't know if he's coming or going when they get done. But they ask questions like this, don't you see? Why are you covered with sores? Don't we do that? Don't we rub it in? Why are you crippled? Why are you limping? Why are you so nervous? What'd you do? I mean, what is the cause of all this? Can you explain it? Come on, we want to hear a reasonable explanation. The guy's sitting on a dung heap with sores all over his body, and they want him to explain his condition. Huh? I mean, isn't it enough that he's there suffering? Oh, I mean, this was a time to depend on the Lord, because you see, criticism is all right, but if it continues on and 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 on, where is God in that thing? But anyway, by this torture, God delivered Job from men. He was getting delivered from them. He couldn't answer their questions. And would they be satisfied with him if he did answer them? Well, it's a natural condition of the body. I probably ate too many strawberries. And so on like that. Likely story. Do you ever try to explain yourself out of a criticism or a slander or whatever folks got ready for you? My God, it cannot be done. Shut your mouth. Stick your boiled foot in your face and keep quiet. But anyway, God, through this, delivered Job from men. Now Job wouldn't go through the curse which comes through making flesh your arm. People dependency. There's a lot of gals out there that are so dependent on their husbands, they're getting beat every day. But they're so dependent upon that husband, about that arm of the flesh that brings the money in, that they take their knocks. Huh? How many hearing this? Well, I think they should just keep right on submitting right into the grave. See, they don't rightly divide the word of God. Say amen, somebody. Or this baby is all beat up, and I run into a lot of that. And I think that this wife should just submit and keep her mouth shut. No, I think she ought to be like I've seen this nature show on TV. She ought to be like one of them mother bears. Ooh-wee. Ever seen one of them movies? Ooh, man, they are fierce. And this big old Hank, he comes waddling over. This big old bear comes waddling over. Charges one of them little ones. And this mother, she goes, nah! Huh? You know what Hank did? Hank met for the hills. He hibernated early. Did you hear me, Mama? You remember that years ago they had them submissive teachings, and you get your brains beat out and just stay there and keep right on submitting. You remember that? They went through the cycle of submissive teaching, and they had women that used that too. Now we have to submit to our husbands and go to the bar. Could I wear your chiffon dress and your blue pumps? Blamed it on their husbands, the nasty sinners. Oh, yeah, I've been through all those things, and I always, at the beginning of all, I said, what's this got to do with serving God? I mean, there's common sense, too. And people don't want to hear common sense. They want to get spiritual about it. See, get like Mama Bear, okay? But he also was strengthened, and let's go on with this, in a personal independence of mind. He could clearly see that the breath was in his own nostrils, not somebody else's. Your husband can't breathe for you. You've got to do that all by yourself. I'm just using you because you're sitting here. I'm going to get a couple of dummies and put them up here. Oh, no offense. No offense. But I mean, I'm going to get a couple of dummies and set them right up here. I've been aiming to do it for a long time, but they cost about $800 a piece for a couple of real good dummies, you know what I mean? And set them up here. Huh? And I suppose somebody come in and say, they got a spirit on them. I'll get one with a button so the head will just screw around and look at them. Huh? He can't breathe for you. Honey, I don't feel like breathing today. He can try all he wants to, but he can't breathe for you. Your life is in your own nose. You only get a nose full at a time. Right? One nose full at a time. That's all you can get a life. Boy, I had a nose full of you. Yeah? I suppose there's a lot of folks get a nose full of me. But I know one thing, I'm just going on with the Lord. I'm going on every day, my God, and there is so much of this going on in the house of God. A lot of it. And a lot of times it comes from folks that have been through the very same thing you have. Say amen, somebody. Hey, A lot of times a drunk is really hard after he's been delivered on what? Drunks. Why is that? Because he gets self-righteous. Well, that happened a long time ago to me. God delivered me. And they get real self-righteous. I see drunks down here, I just see myself. Huh? Do you see yourself? And somebody has somebody done something that you have done years ago in your life, and now you're judging them for the very same thing that you did yourself? Come on, say amen, somebody. Or wished you would have done? Come on. Be honest about the thing. So he got rid of these friends. God delivered him from these friends. Oh, wasn't that a great deliverance? What did he need him for anyway? How come you got them sores on your body? Look at you. You're a mess. And anyway, he could stand alone by God's help, even against those that contended with him. Can our friends sometimes block us from our best friend, block our view? Can't they? They stand in the way of you seeing God, trying to breathe for you. But anyway, we go on to this message and we can sing with David, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." And so his friends, in deserting him and giving him worldly counsel, helped him and made him able to say, "Now mine eye seeth thee." Eliphaz, I think it's Bildad and Zophar, might have interposed in between Job and God, and their kindly help, if it would have been kindly, might have placed Job under some kind of lasting obligations to them. "Oh, you've been so great to me, now I owe you. And so now I'm going to just stick with you through thick and thin because I owe you something." But now he looks to and he honors only God. But still, let's go on with this. And I got to go on with this. But still, before Job could see the Lord, there was a very special manifestation on God's part to him. And then it says, the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind. God must come many times and make a display of himself to his servants, or else they will not see him. There's got to be a whirlwind of experience, or they don't see God. See, our afflictions of themselves will not reveal God to us. Because, you see, if the Lord himself did not unveil his face, your sorrow may even blind, may even harden you, and make you rebellious. So always wait on it for the Lord to show himself. Just like I said, if you're criticized and you think, "God, one more criticism," and you're criticized and you're criticized and you're criticized and you're ostracized and you're kicked in the panicized, just so much. You can get so down, you can get so defeated, you can get so low, you can just cry out, "I am but dust and ashes, and whatever you want me to do right now, I'll do it." Well, you know, Job lost everything. Lost his house and his camels and his sheep and his pastures and his home and his wife. Curse God and die! Don't do what he says. And all the kids, and now he lost his friends. What a predicament. And so he had to wait for the Lord himself to come and unveil himself and show himself in a whirlwind. Because the desertion and the terrible unkindness of his friends is also no help to grace. It has a tendency to sour you and turn you off. So many people that had been Christians, they still are, but they're outside of the church. Well, one thing I know, I'm never going back into church again. I will never. They got the meanest people in there that I have ever seen in my... The church is the best thing going yet. The way it is right now. It's going to be made perfect, so it's going to get better. But the church, the body of Christ, is still the best thing going in this universe. Don't you forget it. God is taking us away from people, and God is taking all over. Don't you have to do that with your own children? What if you just naturally babied your kids all the time? Stevie, I remember he wanted to go to work. He was 14, and he had to be like 16 to go to work. I says, well, go get a job. And he got this job, and he was washing dishes there, and he was in there, and then pretty soon he started fry cooking in there and so on. Like I told a story, but I'll tell it again to the new folks in here today. And then he said, Dad, you know what? He says, these guys are coming and getting paid more, and I've been here 3 years. I says, I should pay them for teaching you how to work. I owe these people for teaching you how to work and how to do everything without complaining and not missing a day's work. I owe them. But anyway, this continuing on can sour people. And they need a special revealing of the Lord. Are you ready? Anybody in here ready for a special revealing of the Lord? Put your hand up if you want a special revealing of the Lord. A special revealing of the Lord. See, now, that's great. You know what? You're going to get it. When you stop depending on the arm of the flesh and you go through all of these things, then God is going to come in like a whirlwind. Now you're going to say Job's words, now mine eye seeth thee. I think go home today and read the whole 38th chapter and see how Jehovah reveals his power and his wisdom. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations? I mean, now here you are complaining. You're sitting on a dunghill and you got these sores all over your body. And you're questioning me, and you're listening to your friends, and you're down on these guys. You're down on Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar, and you're down on all of these guys. Where were you when I laid the foundations? Well, the Bible says I knew you before the foundations of the world were even founded, but we won't get into that. When I laid the foundations of the earth, declare. If thou hast understanding, answer me if you understand how and when and why I laid the foundations of the earth. Where were you? Now declare if you know some. Who hath laid, now listen to it, measures thereof. If thou knowest, mean you know so much, or who hath stretched the line upon it, whereupon the foundations thereof fastened, question. Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? We know who that is. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, where were you? You could make a big thing out of your pilgrimage through this earth that I laid and all the heavens that I put together. Now, you're trying to reason with me here on this, trying to get some understanding. It's getting darkened because you're not listening. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow or the hail? Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the hands of Orin? Canst thou bring forth Masroth in his season, or canst thou guide Atroxus with his sons? Can you? Think of that. The Lord speaks and nature is done. And he can do the same thing in your life and in your situation. God is, and there is none like him. Jehovah is God alone. And then if you'll read in the chapter 40, 11 and 12, Job sees God's justice. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold, everyone that is proud, and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their places. God is the supreme judge. God is the supreme governor. He doesn't bear the sword in vain. No, he doesn't. He is impartial. He is infallible. And none can disannul his judgments or none can condemn his acts. God is God. God has his way and God has a will, which we say we know perfectly God's will all the time. Well, it is God's will to do this and it's God's will to do that. So let's just go ahead and claim his will. How do you know that? Don't a whole lot of things have to happen? Maybe you're going to have a dunghill experience. Maybe you'll be so happy to get off of that dunghill, you say, Lord, if you get me off this dunghill and take care of all these festering sores, I won't ask for nothing else. I won't claim nothing but just being healed. Oh, please, Lord, huh? What God is saying to him is, I am God and who are you? The Lord is proving to him that nothing is impossible to his power and to his wisdom, and he is always able to rescue his servant. You learn here also, God doesn't have to explain to us his judgment. He gives no account of his matters, not one account. He makes Job feel that he is God and that's the end of the matter. I'm God. It happened to you, so that's it. That's like you give your kid a spanking. And he gets all done. And then he says, now, just exactly, Dad, why did you give me a spank? I want to know the reasoning behind this. And you look at him like, no, I want to know. Explain yourself. Do you think he's going to get another butt whacking? Yeah, I think so. Huh? Are they? No apology is made for Job. Now, after you spank your child, you put him in the room and everything. Do you go in there? Some parents do. Daddy, sorry. I don't know what got into me. Oh, I'm so sorry. Sure you wrecked the car. Sure you ran it right through the garage. Sure the police are coming over here. Sure I'm being sued for $50,000. Sure all this happened. But I have to apologize for giving you a paddling. What do you think you're going to do to that kid? No, you don't make no apologies. You did it and you're glad, right? I did it, and I'm glad. Right? Don't you think sometimes folks need to be shook up? Well, that's what you should do with a sluggard. They're all rolled up in his blanket like a hot dog. You just take and roll it out, rip them right out of there. A bucket of water out there. You're sleeping. You should be out of bed. The program goes on. It's probably 1:45 right now. You need to have a bucket of water thrown on you. Boom. And then after you throw the bucket of water, you say, oh, I'm so sorry. Now let me dry you off and put you in a nice, warm, comfortable feather bed. Go down and buy a feather bed for him? No. But you learn here, and I'm closing here, you learn here also God does not have to explain his judgment, not one bit. And so no explanation is given to Job, none. He must bow in unreserved submission and surrender unconditionally. You know what? He does so. Notice how by the Lord's first word, Job was silenced and could only say, I believe, in a whisper, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand to my mouth once I have spoken, but I will not answer, yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. And he goes on further and he says, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Are you getting anything out of this message? Is it talking to you at all? But the last point we have to look at here, the second point we have to look at here, when we have these vivid apprehensions of God, we have lower views of ourselves. When you see God, you see yourself in a lower estate. Why are the wicked so proud? It is because they forgot about God. Why did the Pharaoh dare say, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? It's because that he didn't know God. Notice, however, after 10 plagues, he altered his tone and cried out, I entreat the Lord, for it is enough. Even his great pride was forced to bow before Jehovah when judgments were loosed upon him. And I believe if men knew God, how it would change their thoughts and change their talk. Of course it would. And even if they heard him, how it would change them. But how much more when they see him? But let's today observe also that God himself is a measure of rectitude. And so when we come to think of God, we soon discover our own shortcomings and transgressions. Don't compare yourself with somebody else. Compare yourself with God. Don't measure yourself up against somebody else. Well, I'm better than this drunk over here. I'm better than this person over here. I didn't do that. I only did that once. They did it two times, three times, four times. I only did it one time. No, measure yourself against God. See, he's the only righteous one. You have been made righteous. And let's remember this, that any time that we sin, we don't sin against a person, we sin against God. We rebel against God. How do you rebel against God? By not feeding the poor? By hoarding money, even a quarter? By gossip, unforgiveness, unlove, self-righteousness? Lastly, such a sight fills the heart with true repentance. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. What did he repent of? Well, one tremendous thing he repented of, and there's a lot of folks that have come upon the same spirit. He repented of the tremendous curse which he pronounced upon the day of his birth. In the third chapter, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Have you ever thought that? Why was I born? Why was I born? Why am I living? You better repent of that. Are you hearing this? He also repented of his complaints against God. I will speak in anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. I am a sea or am I a sea or a whale that thou settest a watch over me? When I say, my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint. Then thou scarest me with dreams and terrify me through visions. You ever felt that way about God? What are you doing this to me for? I don't even get a good night's sleep. You terrify me with dreams and so on like that. How about picking on somebody else? Why are you always picking on me? I would not live always. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. How long wilt thou depart from me? nor let me alone till I am swallowed down by my own spittle. And now he comes into something. Are you hearing it? He comes into finding out after all that he was just.
What an incredible message. I just want you to know that Pastor Paul did run off of the tape. He ministered for 93 minutes complete. Right, you heard it if you listened to both parts. Be sure to listen to both parts. This was the conclusion to episode 190. This was part two. So part one was on Friday. So if you didn't catch that, be sure to catch that. Have a great Palm Sunday and be back here next Friday, which is Good Friday, April 22nd, for episode 191, I Would Be Persuaded If. You don't want to miss that. We'll see you back here. Have a great Palm Sunday and a great week. God bless you.
Get ready. You got to move.